Hello, this is the Newborn Nurse Podcast, and I'm your host, Rachel Ramsey, RN, BSN. This podcast is for expectant and new mothers and families, and we are here to share with you a list of incredible newborn resources, services, professionals, and tips and tricks. We hope the info on this podcast informs you, helps you, and most of all, eases any anxieties, gives you confidence, and empowers you to be the best parent possible. Knowledge really is power, and we are here to inform and guide you through this season with your new baby. I am your host, Rachel Ramsey. I am a registered nurse and certified postpartum doula. I have 17 years of professional neonatal and maternal nursing experience and 5 years as the owner of The Newborn Nurse, a Nashville-based service that provides in-home care and newborn education to new families. I hope this podcast helps each of you in some big or small way. Biggest of congratulations and thanks for listening. You've got this, Mama, and we are here for you. As a reminder, any information you hear on this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment. Please see the full disclaimer on our website for more details. Website is listed in show notes. Hey guys, it's Rachel back from The Newborn Nurse, and today we have a very special guest. We have Erica Young with Erica Young Coaching. She is a personal trainer that specializes in pre and postnatal fitness and pelvic floor strength. Is that how you said it earlier? Yes. So all the things involving your pelvic floor and strengthening that before, during, and after you have a baby, which I'm sure every single woman wants to hear what you have to say today. So cool. If you'll first just tell us a little bit about yourself, like how you got started, what your interests are. And I always like to ask everyone, what is your favorite thing to do in the Nashville area?
Sure. Well, thanks so much for having me on. It's good to finally connect. So favorite things to do in Nashville. I love the smaller music venues. I love Bluebird. I love Third and Lindsley. I love, you know, Listening Room, those kinds of things. There's like little singer-songwriter venues. And we're definitely outdoor people. So we like to go down. We like to do Radnor Lake. We like to go down to South Cumberland Plateau, do a lot of hiking and that kind of stuff. So in terms of my story, and I mean, nobody grows up and thinks they're going to be a pelvic floor specialist. This is not the goal. But, I was a traditional trainer. So I, you know, ran track through college and did different athletic things, was a speed skater for a while, actually. And then I was coaching triathlon and doing normal fitness things, get lean, lose weight, do all the things. And then had my third baby. And for whatever reason, that third one just kind of messed up my body mechanics in some way. And she wasn't a big baby. She was a 5-something baby. But for some reason, my body had just had enough at that point. And so, you know, I knew a lot about fitness. I was relatively fit. I thought I understood these things and just came to find out that there was a whole portion of things that I had really been missing. So after my daughter was born, I was leaking significantly. I don't mean a few sneezes here and there. I mean bringing 5 or 6 pairs of pants to work because I was a trainer, and every time I squatted, I was leaking. So it was pretty disruptive to my life. Yeah. And then from there, not just the leaking, I started to have hip pain. I started to have IT band issues. I started to have problems in my foot. And here I am, like 32, like feeling like I'm falling apart. Like all of a sudden, I'm so old. I've worked my whole life to stay fit, and I just felt like everything was falling apart. So I kept getting passed from specialist to specialist. Of course, nobody recommended pelvic floor physical therapy because nobody knows. So I'm doing all sorts of other therapies for all these disconnected parts. Finally did tons of research and got myself the help I needed. And it really came down to the way that my body had shifted during my pregnancies, not just with my final baby, but with all my pregnancies. Your breathing mechanics change, your posture changes. And then the pelvic floor is a group of muscles that work together in your pelvis that give you a lot of stability. And when those stop working together, other muscles kick in to bear the brunt. And so that's where those other things, people start to have shoulder pain, neck pain, hip pain, those kinds of things. And it's because it's compensating for what's not happening in the pelvic floor. So I was kind of a textbook case of all of a sudden it felt like everything was falling apart. But it really came down to my pelvic floor needed some love that it hadn't gotten postpartum. So from there, I started taking all kinds of pelvic floor classes. I think I'm up to 5 or 6 certifications specifically on postnatal work. I have a couple other, you know, posture specialty courses and those kinds of things. And I just realized that this is really the keystone, you know, of fitness. And this is the thing that's missing. And once, you know, there's things that once you see it, you can't unsee it because the need is so great, you know? So I was like, there's no way I'm going back to traditional fitness, like making people do burpees and box jumps and all these things that their bodies aren't really ready for. So at that point, about a decade, maybe 10, 12 years ago, I shifted my focus to just pre and postnatal. So that's really all I've been doing for the last 10 or 12 years. And what's interesting is so much of what makes good pre and postnatal coaching also makes good general coaching. These are things that I wish I'd known 20 years ago. I kind of think back to things I did before I had this information and I kind of cringe, because, we all grow and things change. But, just getting that pelvic floor working the way it should really opens up the doors to a lot more things.
Yeah, and it's such an interior group of muscles that supports a lot of things. Again, most people focus on, your arms and your legs and all that, but it's an interior, it's basically holding up everything in your pelvis. I mean, it's super important. So, yes, it's
It
why how do we and why do we forget about it?
I
This is
know.
why we're talking to you today. So, yeah, let's just go down our list here of talking about all the things. I know, first of all, you work with a lot of singers in Nashville, which is really cool. And if you can talk a little bit about how the pelvic floor and the voice are kind of interconnected. And I'll pause real quick. If any of you read anything about home births or Ina Mae Gaskin, she talks a lot about how the cervix and the jaw are connected. And so
Oh
if you're
yeah.
in labor, to have a loose jaw, don't clench it, and that will help you dilate quickly. So I'm assuming that this is also connected with that as well.
It is. And I don't know if you've ever seen like a picture of the vocal cords versus a picture of a vulva, and they are nearly identical. It's really kind of crazy. The body is just so fascinating. So singing is essentially breathing, right? Like to make those sounds come out of your mouth, it's an exhale. And those exhales are powered by a group of muscles. You need muscular contractions and expansions that bring the air in and out of your body. So what happens then is during pregnancy, like I said before, postural shifts, changes in the way the diaphragm is sitting, and then change of range of motion in your pelvic floor. When those muscles aren't functioning the way they should, you change the way you bring air in and out of your body. It changes what muscles bring air in and out of your body. And usually post-pregnancy, what that looks like is instead of using your bigger, stronger muscles, like the diaphragm and the pelvic floor, you end up using more of your neck muscles. And so when that happens, you tend to get more neck strain. So a lot of my vocalists come to me, they've had a baby and their voice just isn't sounding the same. They don't have as much stamina, they don't have as much power. Things kind of sound shaky because they've lost access to those bigger, stronger muscles. So I know it sounds like a little bit out there to be a singer and go to a personal trainer to help your vocal cords. But it really is, it is a game changer. And there's a growing body of research linking the pelvic floor and the voice. And yes, you're absolutely right. Like tight pelvic floor, tight jaw. Like all my girls that have TMJ and that kind of stuff, most of them have an overly tight pelvic floor. And so learning to re-coordinate those things and get access to them really changes the game. And I even have lots of clients who haven't had a baby yet. I have male vocalists. Because when you tap into the power of that pelvic floor, it really changes the voice quality.
Yeah, it's like the missing piece of the puzzle
It really
for
is. It
sure.
really is.
So cool. I'm super excited to chat today.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about also, let's go back a little bit and let's talk about returning to exercise when a mom is postpartum. And then the importance of making sure that the core and pelvic floor are ready. So you can kind of touch on this a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So, unfortunately, in the world we live in with social media and all these kinds of things, there is so much pressure to, I say in quotes, get your body back. And it's so unfortunate because those early months are so special. And then to additionally have those pressures, I mean, the diet companies buy their mailing lists from your baby registry. So they know when your baby is coming. They know when you've had your 6-week checkup and you are cleared to exercise. And they will start bombarding you with how to get back in your jeans, which is really not, does not need to
Not
be the kind
okay.
of
Not
plan.
okay. Not
It
okay.
is not okay. The body shaming that comes with this, your body just did this amazing, miraculous thing, and there's all these changes, and then you're just supposed to like bounce back as if nothing ever happened. It's completely illogical, unfair. Nothing about it is okay.
Seems a little bit traumatic too. Like to bounce back quickly seems a little bit quick. too soon.
And I can speak from experience here because my first two pregnancies, I, looking from the outside, probably did what people considered bouncing back quickly. At the time, I was still in triathlon world. I was racing again, and I probably looked like I had it all together. But I know now that I had been collecting dysfunction that really started showing up after my third pregnancy.
Interesting.
Not to mention the stress and anxiety that I was putting on myself to get there so quickly, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I want to say too that there's kind of two ends of the spectrum. The first spectrum is lose the baby weight, get back in your jeans, make it look like nothing ever happened, and make it look effortless, which is, of course, so problematic in so many ways. And then there's this other side of the pendulum has swung where it's like, you're wrong for wanting to exercise. You or like you need to just embrace the weight and just be okay, which I definitely swing more in that direction. But I also want to honor the fact that, and you know this better than anybody, in those early months, you're so disoriented. Like everything about your life changes. Your job probably changed, your sleep schedule changed, your marriage is changing, everything is changing. And so it's understandable that women want to feel like something is familiar, and often that something is their body. So I understand the, even outside of the marketing and the dysfunctional social media stuff, I do understand women wanting to just feel more familiar, but then unfortunately we go about it in these ways that are just not very good for our bodies. So what tends to happen is you have your baby, you go back to your 6-week checkup, which you and I both know this is like the myth of the 6-week checkup. So a lot of people go through treatment, IVF, all kinds of things to get pregnant, that trying to conceive period. Then you're pregnant for 9 months, maybe with multiples, maybe you had a traumatic birth, who knows. And then after 6 weeks, you go to one appointment. Often it's 15, 20 minutes. And they're like, okay, go have sex, go exercise, you are clear. And it just doesn't make any sense, especially compared to other things that our bodies go through. You have a knee replacement, you have frozen shoulder, you have whatever it is that's going on with your body. There's often automatic physical therapy and there's a string of appointments. But yet your body goes through this thing for at least a year and you get one checkup. And they act like that is a comprehensive plan and you are now in the clear. So women get the message, I've had my checkup, it's game on. And so they sign up for these boot camps. They sign up for a half marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the body is just not quite ready. Often the mind is ready.
Mm-hmm.
Often sometimes even like legs and arms are ready, but the pelvic floor is not ready. And there's no way for you to really know that. And so that's how we kind of get ourselves into trouble. Where symptoms start collecting and we just don't feel like ourselves.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, maybe, cause I talked with the last, person we had on the podcast, the people that watch or listen to this podcast are planners for the most part. They are women who, like us, plan, think ahead, you're planning for postpartum. So what are some things that the people listening to this can do to plan for like a good, healthy delivery, or maybe some exercises that they can do while they're expecting and after as well?
Sure. So, I mean, we can make a plan, and just like, you know, birth plans, you know, sometimes they get executed and sometimes they change completely. The biggest thing is we do recommend staying active. There's very few cases where it's contraindicated to exercise in pregnancy. For the most part, we say, yes, stay active. The more active you stay, mm-hmm. the better you will feel in delivery and after. Certainly if there's, you know, if there was a, you know, high risk pregnancy or whatever, I'm not a doctor and I can't make recommendations about that. But for the most part, we recommend to stay active, doing some resistance training, doing some cardio. It is okay to do those things. We are not fragile. Our bodies are made to move during pregnancy, and it'll make a smoother pregnancy and delivery. Postpartum, I definitely recommend everybody see a pelvic floor physical therapist at least once. So, and I can send you a list of people in town, at least in Nashville, that I know and trust. So it's always good just to go and get that additional checkup, because your OB is not checking. They're checking for your C-section scar. They're looking for evidence of bleeding, but it's not in their scope actually to look at the function of the pelvic floor. And so I definitely recommend going to see a pelvic floor physical therapist. And again, I am a trainer. I am not a pelvic floor physical therapist. So I'm not certified to do any internal work. So I work as a team with those people. And in some cases, they'll recommend kind of a series of appointments with a pelvic floor physical therapist. And in some cases, they'll say, everything looks good. Like, I think you're okay. You probably know too, that in Europe and elsewhere, pelvic floor physical therapy is automatic. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes. And here you almost have to like beg and convince. But in Tennessee, you can call and make your own appointments. You don't actually have to have a referral. So
yeah. And I would say, like, if it was me, even if you feel like everything is going well down there, just to have them check up and check it and make sure everything looks good is probably a great idea, because why not? Right.
And yeah. Also the knowledge that any symptom is worth addressing. So, you know, a lot of us grew up listening to our aunts, our moms, our cousins, you know, say, don't make me laugh, you're going to make me pee, you know, and those mm-hmm. kinds of things. And so we start to accept that those things are normal and expected, and that we should all just live with it. Welcome to motherhood. But if you are having any form of leakage, any form of discomfort, feelings of heaviness, difficulty with sex, difficulty with like going to the bathroom, there are things that can be done. These are things that you do not just have to live with and tolerate for the rest of your life. So, you know, you can go see a pelvic floor physical therapist. You can come see somebody like me. You can see a combination. But I would definitely, in terms of part of a plan, like put that on the calendar after delivery to go to a pelvic floor physical therapist.
Yeah.
And then in terms of return to exercise, I wish I could give you a really crisp timeline of at 8 weeks you can do this, at 10 weeks you can do this, at 3 months you can do this. But it's not always that clear. It really depends on a case-by-case basis. And I want to say too that, you know, I said a few minutes ago that we recommend women exercise in pregnancy, which is true. The only caveat to that is women who work out in pregnancy, then after pregnancy, they feel so good. Everything about them feels like they're ready to go to that boot camp. And so it kind of confuses the body, and it like, my legs still feel strong. My cardio capacity feels good. I don't have any back pain, so therefore I'm good. And it's not always the case. It's actually like a contraindication of exercising in pregnancy, that it makes you feel too ready after pregnancy to jump into too much too soon. So that, you know, that pelvic floor has been, I can talk about more about the pelvic floor in a second, but the pelvic floor has been in a more of a lengthened position for a while. It had to stretch significantly when you had a delivery or you had a C-section. It still was stretched during pregnancy. And then you have a significant surgery that we're working around. And so what happens then is when you go back, like let's say you do what I did, which is not what I recommend, and you're doing a triathlon at 8 or 10 weeks postpartum, the right muscles weren't doing the work. My pelvic floor wasn't ready. My hips weren't stable, because the pelvic floor does a lot to stabilize the hips. So therefore, other muscles had to kick in and do the work. Well, now I feel tight and achy and something feels wrong, just because I've kind of created a muscle imbalance in my body. So it's, you know, it's really hard. There are some protocols out there that are recommended, like a return to run. I will say that return to run often looks more like a 4, 5, 6 month plan than a ready to run at that 6 week checkup. If it's done well, where, you know, and I was a runner, so I understand that urge to get back out there, but it often takes a little longer to do it and stay injury free rather than just jumping in as soon as your doctor signs off at 6 weeks.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, where the baby or babies was, they're gone. So you feel good, but everything's slippery and stretchy and organs need to go back to their original spot. And it doesn't just happen overnight. It takes a while. And when you are pregnant, all your ligaments, there's a hormone that's released called relaxin to help you give birth, and it loosens up every joint and every ligament. So you're basically like, you know, Gumby. You're not, it's not your original, you know, pre-baby body. So it takes a little while for everything to kind of slowly get back to where it's supposed to be. So if you're running and jostling, you're basically just jiggling everything around for a little bit until it tightens back up.
Right. But there's a lot you can do. So what I do with my people who are anxious to return to running is we do very run specific strength training. So they can see this is how this is going to transfer to running 6 weeks from now. So it doesn't mean that you're fragile and you need to stay in a bubble. It just means you need to rebuild probably a little bit more than you expect to be ready to feel good after. Yeah. The other thing is, breathing, and this comes back to my work with singers, but pre and postnatal fitness has really changed in the last couple years, where there's much more of a focus on breathing well, because what happens is your diaphragm, if you can picture that big muscle at the bottom, base of your ribcage, and your pelvic floor are supposed to move in tandem. So diaphragm and pelvic floor go down, and then when you exhale, diaphragm and pelvic floor go up. So this happens in a lot of us without us ever thinking about it. We're sitting in high school, our pelvic floor and diaphragm are moving. We've never thought a thing about it. Well, during pregnancy, there's a shift in posture. And sometimes we lose coordination between the diaphragm and the pelvic floor. And so we stop moving those muscles the way they should be moved every time we take a breath. So we breathe probably 20 to 25,000 times a day. And each time we do that, those muscles should get a little workout. You know, they get long, they get short. Well, during pregnancy, when the belly, that center of gravity changes and we're shifted forward or we're tucking our hips under to support us, we lose some of that coordination. So those muscles stop moving like they should. And so the healing for a lot of pelvic floor stuff, so leaking, prolapse, a lot of pelvic pain oriented things, is actually about relearning to breathe. So sometimes that is a surprise to clients.
Interesting.
Like, come to see me postpartum and they are ready. Like, give me the squats, give me the lunges, let's do push-ups. And we'll certainly get back to that point. But step number one is to regain good breathing mechanics. So I tell people all the time, if you are going to do 20,000 squats a day, would you want a trainer to make sure that your form was good? And that seems to make sense to people. So if you're breathing 20,000 times a day, you want to make sure that the muscles you're using to breathe are the muscles you want to be using to breathe. And so that usually takes a couple weeks to kind of get that back online. And then we start to integrate that into other exercises. But that's the game changer. Like, I have definitely helped people go from leaking every day to not leaking at all in 2 weeks of relearning how to breathe.
That is insane. I had no idea. That's so cool.
It is. But just like labor, you know that like breathing well during labor is going to change that experience.
Oh, yeah.
And breathing well postpartum is going to change how the pelvic floor responds. So again, back to the singers, when I teach them to breathe well so they can stop peeing, then they're like, oh, my voice feels better. And, you know, if I asked you about it, you'll probably, when you're home with a new mom and her baby, like sometimes they go to laugh and they sound like, like it doesn't have any power to it. Have you heard that?
It's breathy. Yeah.
Really breathy. Or they even go to like, you know, shout something to their toddler or something and it like doesn't come out right. And the reason for that is the diaphragm has been, you know, doming more because the baby was there and the pelvic floor is kind of down low. And those bigger, stronger muscles can't create that power that gives you power in your voice. And so for both my postpartum moms who are peeing and my like female singers who have never had a baby, when we can tap back into that, then all of a sudden they can belt those notes and hit those phrases without straining, you know? And
that's so cool. I had no idea that was so interconnected. What a neat thing. I'm sure you have lots of clients in the Nashville area then.
Yeah, I know. Tons. I never move. I definitely live in the right place.
You are in the right place.
It's a lot of the same work. So it's really, really fun to, you know, I'm giving these kind of warnings about like, be careful running right at 6 weeks and be careful doing this and you might leak. And I don't want to make anything feel scary because this body just grew a human and it's amazing and it's capable of so much even postpartum. So you're not broken. You don't need to live in a bubble. There's so much you can do. The only message I want to send is if those symptoms creep up, then I want you to reach out to either a pelvic floor physical therapist or somebody like me and just get some help navigating your way back so you don't collect other symptoms on the way. But you know, our bodies are so resilient and you will find your way back. And if you don't, that's okay too. If your body is just different, that's okay because you grew a human. It's okay.
Yes. Hey everyone, this is Rachel from The Newborn Nurse. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you are learning some valuable and helpful information on this podcast. If you would like to learn even more, we have something new and exciting to tell you about. We have created our Newborn Care 101 online video course for first-time expectant parents or parents who want a refresher course in newborns. This course is taught by me, a neonatal newborn nurse and expert of 18 years and founder of The Newborn Nurse. It's so super important to make sure you are gathering your newborn information from a trusted and experienced source as you prepare for your baby. This course is a series of educational videos where you will learn everything you need to know about newborn care all in one spot without having to search and scroll all over the internet. You can take this course in the comfort of your own home and nursery with your own baby equipment and at your own pace. You can also rewatch the videos as many times as you would like with unlimited access to these videos for an entire year. Many of the families who have already taken this course have reached out to tell me how helpful it is to go back and be able to review these videos once their baby has arrived. In this course, you will learn swaddling, diapering, bathing, breastfeeding, bottle feeding, burping, cord care, how to use your breast pump in car seat, how to prevent mastitis, calm a fussy baby, and much, much more. You also get free printables, including a checklist of what to pack in your hospital bag, a must-haves product list for your baby registry, and the best part, you get free access to our Facebook online community group where you can meet other new moms and also have access to me, Rachel, for any newborn questions you have along your journey. The families who have taken this course already have raved about it and have felt it has been super helpful and allowed them to feel prepared, organized, ready, and knowledgeable about their newborn. For our podcast listeners, you can receive 10% off this course with coupon code, all caps, PODCAST, at the checkout. The link to purchase this course is in the show notes below. Thank you for being here and best wishes to you and your family. I hope you feel loved, supported, and empowered as a new parent. Thanks so much and have a great day. That actually reminds me, I wanted to speak on, let's say someone is 8 weeks postpartum, they hear this podcast, they're having leakage, which I feel like that's pretty much one of the most common things is when people leak, if they laugh, sneeze, or get on a trampoline or whatnot, or run, jog. So someone's leaking, what does a plan look like for them if they come to you or go see a pelvic floor specialist in their area? What is like a treatment plan for this person? What would that look like?
Great question. So, you know, it's going to look a little different depending on what provider that you see. So, you know, even within the world of pelvic floor physical therapy, you could have a radically different experience in one office versus another. I will say that if you go to pelvic floor physical therapy and they don't talk at all about breathing, you might consider finding another provider. If they're just having you like lay on a table and like do little clamshell exercises, but they're not talking to you at all about breathing, that's kind of a red flag.
Interesting.
Maybe find a different practitioner. You know, and I'm not a pelvic floor physical therapist, so I can't go into depth about what they assign to people. I will say that they can do manual work. So if your pelvic floor is really tight, everybody assumes post-pregnancy that their pelvic floor is super, super weak. Everybody assumes they're stretched out and weak. But what we see more frequently is a pelvic floor that's overly tense. And sometimes there's a tight, weak combo. But, you know, sometimes it helps to do some manual therapy. Well, they'll go in and it feels like an OBGYN appointment and they can do some manual release and they can do some kind of biofeedback where they have like ways to measure how strong your pelvic floor muscles are. I don't have access to that. But in terms of what a program looks like for me for postpartum, I usually see people for that initial, you know, 8, maybe sometimes 12 weeks, depending on what's going on. Those first week or two, we're just kind of doing some posture stuff and some breathing because they're so tense from holding up the weight of the baby, and just trying to get things more aligned before I start to add resistance. But really by week 2, 3, something like that, we're starting to do squats. We're starting to do some core work. We're starting to do some lunges because that's real life. Like some people say, well, don't lift anything. But most of these people already have a toddler. So they are lifting a 35, 45 pound toddler, but yet the advice is don't lift anything. It doesn't make sense.
It's impossible in real life almost sometimes to not lift.
I would much rather train them how to lift those things, how to hold their body so that they don't feel those pressures or those symptoms when they lift up their wiggly toddler. So, you know, the progression looks different depending on if you had a C-section or a vaginal birth. It depends on so many things, but I like to get people up and moving. I am not a fear-based, you know, like, let's just be, I'm trying to train you for real life. Like, you're still putting the double stroller in the car. You are still carrying the big things of laundry up the stairs. You are still wrestling the wiggly toddler out of the grocery store. And so I want to, as best I can, simulate those things in my studio where you can relearn how to use your body in those scenarios and build that strength back. But I'm really just kind of training toward them toward whatever it is they want to do. If they want to return to running, they have a running focused program. If they don't really care, they just don't want to sneeze and leak all over themselves, then we're focusing a little bit more on that. But you know, every postpartum body is really, really different. So we're just kind of looking to see what symptoms are bothering them most, where are they, where do they want to go, and what's the most efficient way to get them there.
That's
And
awesome.
how does that work transfer to their real life, to putting the double stroller in the car, to lifting the box of stuff out of the Costco cart? So we just want to make sure that they feel good in their bodies doing those real life things.
I love that you tailor each plan per se to what exactly is going on in their life and what their goals are. You know, again, you might have a mom who wants to do a half marathon at some point, so you can kind of help point her in that direction. Let's also talk a little bit about diastasis recti, which is the fancy term for when you have a baby, the little middle part of your abdominal muscles spreads out like this, and then after the baby's born, it goes back together. But some people still have, I have a couple of friends that still have the big space that goes down in between their ab muscles, and it can be bothersome. So can you speak a little bit about this?
Absolutely. So, I will say that probably 99 to 100% of pregnant people have some diastasis or diastasis, both pronunciations are correct, during their pregnancy. This is a very normal, functional, and really super cool part of the human body. It's like
Like a
it's
transformer. It's like your stomach is like, here's the baby. Go back to
Amazing.
it.
And we actually want this to happen to some degree so that the baby can grow. We don't want the baby to be restricted in any way. I think it's re I'm fascinated by it. And I think it's so cool that the body has a built-in system to accommodate this human. Unfortunately, on Instagram and wherever, there's a lot of weird stuff about how to prevent diastasis. And yes, there are some things that you can do, you know, just lifting weights in certain ways and stuff to keep it from getting really extreme. But I wouldn't say that you can or should prevent it. We want the baby to have room to grow. And if that's how your body is creating space, that's okay. Okay. So, and then postpartum, it really should not, like, I still expect to see some diastasis on nearly all of my clients, even at the 3, 4, 5 month mark. Okay. So, and I forget the actual numbers and statistics about how many are closed by 6 months and how many are closed by 9 months. But you know, we definitely expect to see some in that early postpartum months. And I just kind of let it be because I'm just going to let their body do what it does. If we get to the point where it's 9, 12 months out and it's still there, it's significant, it's bothersome, then we really start to do a little bit more intervention for it. But it really is a pressure issue. So it's there during pregnancy because the pressure of the baby is pushing forward. But then the baby's gone, and so if there's no longer pressure, it would tell you that it would come back together. So if it remains for whatever reason in a body, my first question is, where is the pressure coming from? Why is something still pressing forward that's allowing that gap to remain? Because if the pressure goes away, it'll pretty much start to close itself. So they start to think, look, back to breathing. A lot of these people who still have it are belly breathers. You know, they've been told to breathe into their belly for whatever reason. And every time they inhale, they're pushing into that gap. And so it's not allowing it to come back together. So we can actually learn to breathe differently. And a lot of that'll start to resolve itself. Sometimes it's a muscle imbalance, like certain core muscles are stronger than other core muscles. So we can kind of, you know, shift that balance and it'll start to come together. Sometimes we change shoes. Sometimes we do different things. But a lot of it comes back to breathing.
That's
You
so
know,
crazy.
like I said, that diaphragm and pelvic floor coordination, if we've lost that, the pressure doesn't know where to go. So if you can think of the whole thing as like a pressure canister, you know those cans of biscuits that like you take off the wrapper off the outside and you put the spoon in it and it kind of pops, okay, because it's a pressurized canister. So diastasis is like that gap, it opens and there's pressure, right?
Yeah.
And so we're trying to figure out where that pressure is coming from and how to redirect it so that it can come back together.
Very cool.
But it's not, there's a lot of unqualified people on Pinterest, like 5 exercises to heal your diastasis. And maybe they work for somebody. I don't want to critique other people's programs, but if it's not a whole body, looking at breathing, looking at posture, I am skeptical of it. Let's just say that. So, you know, I want to look at kind of your whole system and how it's working together and why there's still a pressure imbalance even after pregnancy is over.
Okay. We can talk a little bit about pelvic organ prolapse. Fun. I know a lot of, actually had a patient in the hospital years and years ago. She hit the call light and she's like, I think something's coming out, and her uterus was literally prolapsing. It's rare, but it does happen. It can be uterus. The bladder can drop. This is, I feel like more older women have an issue with this. Do you see clients who are not of the childbearing years who are older, or how does this work in your scope and in your world?
Sure. So I technically see pregnant and postpartum people, but there's just so many more postpartum people, because once you're postpartum forever. So like, you know, there's a certain percentage of the world that's pregnant at any given time. And then once you have a baby, you're always postpartum. So some of my clients are in their 60s. They just never really felt good after their pregnancy. And here they are, you know, 35 years later saying, my back has been hurting for 35 years. Please help me.
Yeah.
So with prolapse, I'll just say on the record too, I have 2 prolapses actually in my world. I am completely symptom free, but that was part of my issue as well. You know, after my daughter was born. There's nothing that I did to cause that. There's nothing I did that any of my clients did to cause that. That was just my body's response for whatever reason. So I just say all that out loud to just kind of diffuse some of the fear around it. So I have a prolapse. I run. I lift. I am symptom free. Life goes on. It is
not your fault.
It is not the end of the
world.
It's
not your fault.
Not your fault. I will say too that I would say most postpartum women probably have at least a grade 1 prolapse, but they are symptom free and they have no idea. And what I mean by that is their pelvic organs are sitting slightly lower than they were pre-pregnancy. Technically, that's a prolapse, but you would never know. You're not going to feel it. You don't have the symptoms. It's not extreme. You just, but your where your organs live in your abdomen has changed. This is fine. So if you kind of, it's hard to picture on a podcast because I talk with my hands so much, but then, so there's grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4. And so if the organs keep sitting lower, 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 once you get to grade 3, 4, it might start to be visible. And those are the people that we might look at a surgery or that kind of stuff. But for the most part, people who have that mid-grade prolapse where it's symptomatic, but it's not totally disruptive to their life. And what I mean by symptomatic is they might feel a heaviness, like it might feel like a tampon is stuck, something like that, or it might feel like a bulging or a pushing down. It might be hard to use the bathroom, those kinds of things. So there are some temporary solutions. There's something called a pessary, which is like, there's lots of different kinds, but there's some that look like a Tupperware lid that you can kind of put in there and give yourself some support to go for a run and then take it back out. But I can tell you that it's in many cases reversible by getting better pelvic floor function. But then it's also possible for it to still be there, but become symptom free. And that's where I am in my life. That's where I've been for pretty much a decade, is I have 0 symptoms. I don't notice anything. I have no idea.
That's awesome.
You know, if I didn't have an internal exam, I wouldn't even know. So, you know, there's a lot of fear about that kind of stuff, and it can be extremely disruptive to life, but it doesn't have to be. And there are ways forward. And so part of what I do in my gym, when I do have people who have a symptomatic prolapse that's really bothering them, we work on posture, we work on breathing, we get range of motion back in the pelvic floor, and then we start lifting. Kettlebells, dumbbells, barbells, we are moving around. I reintroduce jumping. And so that they can learn how to manage this new unfamiliar feeling in their body. And over time, as they get stronger and things start to coordinate, they stop noticing it. So, you know, and it might be something, again, that you also see a pelvic floor physical therapist. A lot of my clients see both of us, and, but it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be the worst news of your life. You can have another baby, even with a prolapse. This is okay. There are definitely lots of ways forward.
You're a walking example of healing in that it can all reverse. So very cool. Okay. So if anybody wants to contact you or ask more about your services, can you talk about how to contact you, your website, your Instagram, all the things?
Right. So I technically have an Instagram, but I am not very active. It for some reason just does not make sense in my brain. So it's there. It's Erica Young Coaching, but there's okay. just not a whole lot there to look at.
Wait,
so
Erica with a K, right?
Yes, Erica with a K.
Erica with a K.
Young Coaching, and it is on Instagram, and you can certainly send me a message there. Just don't go looking for lots of posts. I have a private Facebook page group called Core and Pelvic Floor with Erica Young, but the best place is probably just my website, which is Erica, E-R-I-K-A, Young coaching.com. And there's a place there that says contact me. So in terms of how I work, I am mostly now in person out of my studio in Brentwood. So I see clients usually individually, sometimes in pairs, just out of my house in Brentwood. Some of my clients bring their babies in car seats and they just kind of sit in the corner and we train, which is good. I do travel to some clients. It depends on the situation. I also have clients on multiple continents. So I do train by Zoom. But my preference with that is that I've met you first. Like, I don't love these clients that I've never, I love these clients that I've never met, but it's much harder to work with clients that I've never met. But I do have a lot of clients, like, you know, I think we have a lot of overlap on clients, but clients who are on tour. So they train with me when they're in Nashville and then I train them by Zoom when they're on tour. So we can definitely work that out. I did build an online course. It was kind of my pandemic project. So I have an online course called Stronger Beyond Birth that I built during the pandemic, and I have a lot of people go through and a lot of people have good results. I'm currently refilming that and kind of just reformatting it now that I can have a film crew in my house because I couldn't back then. So it's not open right now, but it does exist. So there is a kind of a do-it-yourself postpartum, you know, return to exercise course that I have online.
Very cool. Yeah. If you are an expectant mom, this is probably something that I would do and there are no issues, but you want to just be proactive and be ahead of the game. Can you see people while they're while they are expecting and kind of do a consultation with them and then plan on meeting them after? How does that work if someone just wants to get ahead of the game and have you on their radar?
Yes, they can absolutely do that. You know, I do free consult calls so they can just make a consult call and we can kind of make a plan, like you said, for postpartum. I also, there are people who I train them all the way through their pregnancy. And then when they get that kind of cleared to exercise, they come back, we start slow, we do the things, we build them back, and then I can get them running again or whatever. Cool. So there are people who use my services all the way through, even trying to conceive, then pregnancy, then postpartum. Some people, it's just really important to them to have somebody in their corner who's up to date on research and, you know, making sure that everything's taken care of with their body. So I love it all. I love every stage of the process and just love to walk women through and be whatever they need me to be to kind of feel good in their bodies.
Well, you're a wealth of knowledge and I've heard so many great things about you. We have some, again, mutual friends that have highly, highly recommended you, and you definitely know your stuff. And I actually learned a lot of new things today. I've been doing this a long time and I need to go breathe. I need to figure out how to breathe correctly, I guess. I had no idea that was such an integral part of all of this. So very cool. Well, thank you for your time today and appreciate it and appreciate all of your information.
Thank you, Rachel.
All right. Have a great day. Thanks, Erica. All right. Bye. If you loved what you heard on our podcast today, don't forget you can learn even more with our new Newborn Care 101 online video course. This course is taught by me, a newborn registered nurse expert, and covers all kinds of newborn education, including swaddling, diapering, bathing, breastfeeding, how to use your breast pump and car seat, sleep training, and much, much more. You also get free access to our online course community, which gives you direct access to me, Rachel, for any newborn questions along the way. Our podcast listeners get a special discount, so make sure to use coupon code PODCAST in all caps at the checkout. The link to purchase this course is in show notes below. Thanks so much and have a great day. Although I am a nurse, I am not your medical provider, and any information from me is purely educational and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a professional for your particular situation before making any decisions. My opinion about any brands we mention on the podcast is based on my personal experience experience and is not an endorsement about the suitability of any products for your particular need.